Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Oh.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
What is going on, guys? Had a real fun episode with Beyond Top Secret Texan and my buddy Ron from New England. Recording this intro very early in the morning, so my voice may sound a little shaky, and it is extremely cold here in Tucson. I think we hit 35. Bundled up here. And if you're viewing on YouTube, you're only going to get a portion of the episode that's even shorter than the free audio version, just because something went wrong with my screen sharing and it was just stuck on one thing. But we go through all of our introductions in the meat of the episode. So enjoy that. Head on over to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast to get the whole audio feed. More full versions of videos will absolutely be coming soon. And I appreciate the support, guys. Subscribe, throw likes my way if you can on YouTube, and let's try and grow that thing too, man. This has been fun. Really, really interesting stuff talking about the Third and Fourth Reich, the Nazis, their secret UFO plan, the Dark Fleet, all that good stuff, man. This is real fun stuff. Interesting, scary, but very, very entertaining, in my opinion. Beyond Top Secret has some great information. So hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you over there at Patreon if you got the guts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Dangerous World Podcast. I brought on two heavy hitters here. I got Beyond Top Secret Texan and, of course, Ron from New England of the Wicked Planet Podcast, the Christmas baby, the birthday boy we're talking today. Man, I'm very excited. Happy birthday, Ron. But yeah, guys, why don't right off the bat, before we talk about like this whole Nazi connection with the UFOs and all the stuff that they were studying here, we'll plug some stuff right here up front. Texan, I'll start with you, dude, and then we'll save the birthday of the Christmas baby for last.
Right on. Shalom, namaste, Beyond Top Secret Texan here, host of the Beyond Top Secret Texan podcast, and basically the several channels that it runs. I do 50/50 podcasts, you know, have a whole library of them, over 100 podcast episodes that you can find for free via Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. You know, I distribute widely and through all the major ones. So check me out however you can find me. And I do video content, usually dark web video evidence compilations, things like that, and also video essays. And those are uploaded to YouTube, TikTok, of course, you know, Library, Odyssey, and I'm going to shift away to more alternative platforms for the, you know, the rights of free speech and people who, you know, don't want the YouTube. They want alternatives. They want, you know, third parties, independent platforms and stuff. So I'm going to start moving towards that in the future. But right now I got 400 plus videos on YouTube. Check them out. I got over a couple hundred on TikTok. You know, those are absolutely free to watch if you're into that kind of media. And, you know, going to be making a lot more into the future and everything. You check out my Patreon. You can check out my Patreon for exclusive access. My Instagram, I post daily updates, things like that. And I got a Telegram group to post links to different media, websites, articles, get discussions going. And all of it's available at Beyond Top Secret Texan. Just that's the basically the name, the title, the label, the link, all of that. You know, Linktree, Beyond Top Secret Texan, Twitter, Top Secret Texan, Instagram, Beyond Top Secret Texan. You know, you can't get any simpler than that.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. I appreciate you hopping on and dropping some knowledge. I'm excited to hear what you got. Ron, what about you? Happy birthday again, dude. I'm very excited that you were willing to talk with us on your birthday, man.
Well, that's okay, Ryan. My wife cooked me a big dinner. We had dinner with the family, so I'm good to go. And So yeah, I'm Ron from New England, host of the Wicked Planet podcast. I'm sure anybody that listens to The Dangerous Worlds is familiar with me. And I just wanted to thank Ryan for inviting me on. I've been wanting to talk to the top secret Texan for quite a while, actually. And I'm really interested to see what he's got to show us tonight.
Hell yeah. Plug away with your stuff too, man. Do you got anything else? Your Instagram, all that good stuff?
Well, yeah, I'm on Instagram at Ron from New England and the Wicked Planet podcast. And the Wicked Planet podcast is where everybody gets their podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, Podbean. The list goes on. And let's not forget Alt Media United.
We can't. We can never do that, yeah. Dude. And yeah. if you're listening to the show, obviously, you know, Dangerous World on Patreon. You got patreon.com/dangerousworld. And then the online store. Patreon is the way that I make my cash, you know, doing this whole thing. And then, of course, dangerousworldstore.com. So thank you, guys. Let's roll right into this, dude, because I'm excited. I know Ron is a big expert when it comes to the hardened facts and the real like shit when it comes to the Nazis. Obviously, a little bit about that esoteric stuff, too. But Top Secret Texan, I know, was kind of teasing when we were talking on the Monday Night Master Debaters that he's all about UFOs. And I know that you got some things to say on this, dude. So where's a good spot to start if we're trying to break this down in a way that's not hacky, like just straight Nazi Antarctica bases?
Always got to go back to the beginning. And actually, you know, in my own opinion, that all of history has been absolutely altered and fabricated, and really got to get down to what the truth of Deutschland, what the truth of Germany is, from Prussia days, from the monarchies, from the Habsburgs to the different industrial movements inside Germany, but really understand what German identity was and what the Nazi Party really stood for, not the cartoon Walt Disney Hollywood bad guys that Indiana Jones has kind of portrayed the idea of the Anunnaba and the SS, especially the SS. And right now, I want to make it clear when we talk about the subject, I'm not insensitive to how controversial this topic is. In fact, this would be illegal to record in Europe. And but, you know, that's why America has the whole, you know, freedom angle to it, because we can explore these concepts and think about without the fear of taboos. And I would really not mince words and say I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm saying that people have been lied to by the very United States government, by the very allied powers that the Nazis actually formed and created. We have been lied to by the very Nazis that actually have seized control of the Western world and did so through, covert changing of names and IDs, basically witness protection program tactics, and have suppressed technology. And so the question is always, well, how is this all suppressed and who's keeping the secret? To be honest, it's all Nazis. It's all Nazis all the way down and all the way up. And it's like they have an enormous influence in the history of the 20th century, the history of the UFO phenomenon, and the future of mankind, as well as the future of mankind as an extra, I guess you call it extraplanetary, extrastellar species, because they were the first ones to develop space programs, and they currently still operate in breakaway civilizations such as Antarctica.
Yeah.
They operate transnationally, transglobally, internationally, right amongst us, right in businesses. They've changed their names to mostly Latinized names, to be honest. They go with Spanish names and heraldry, and they usually come from South America, or they operate with, you know, I guess you call it Netherlands or Nordic or Baltic names, especially a lot of Baltic families. And it's just a matter of common knowledge, but secrecy. It's a well-kept open secret.
All right, everyone, jumping in here real quick just to talk about Manscaped a little bit, okay? This is the first video ad read I'm doing for these guys, and they renewed, man. They're staying with the show. Really, really honored to have them on. Wanted to show you a few of the products just so you know I'm not lying, that I do have them, and I use them every day. They're phenomenal. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. good stuff. You rub it on your nuts. It's like lotion. And you can do other things with it, I'm sure. But I would just recommend using it for the reasons that it says. This was a lifesaver, man, because as a man, my feet will stink. The foot duster, it's almost gone. Barely any left. I do have one more left. But yeah, foot deodorant. Incredible, incredible stuff. You just spray it on your feet, let it dry. Good to go, man. Good to go. This is a real nice little weed whacker, and it's very quiet. Hold this up to the mic here. See how quiet that is? You can barely hear it. You can shave your gross nose hairs without anyone really knowing. And the pièce de resistance. This beauty right here. Boom. This thing is awesome, man. The lawnmower, the 4.0. I don't know if you can see that real good there. I got an attachment on there because, as you can see, I don't shave much and there is hair in there. So I should have checked that first. But yeah, this is extremely quiet too. Got a little light so you can really get in there and do your thing. And the best feature, man, wireless charging. You just set that right in there. I missed. Set that right in there. Good to go, dude. This thing is real cool, man. So you can get all those products. If you enter the promo code danger at manscaped.com, you get 20% off and free shipping, man. You cannot beat that with a stick, and just a great company all around. Lots and lots of stuff. You know, I always talk about the Third Reich and Manscaped, but there is no comparison, right? These guys are really, really cool, man. So, man, big, big thanks to them, guys. Go check them out again, manscaped.com. Danger is your promo code. You'll get 20% off and free shipping. Get that Christmas gift for somebody, man. The balls that are most important in your life, whether they're yours or a special man or someone who identifies as a man. You can even give it to one of those crazy people on libs of TikTok that just need to shave something. And, you know, they were born with a vag. It is what it is, guys. We're not judging here. This is a judgment-free zone, just like Planet Fitness. We have the pizza nights and everything. Head over to manscaped.com, enter the promo code DANGER, and get 20% off plus free shipping. Thank you very much for staying on board, Manscaped. Love you guys. Best shaving company in the world. Love them. Can't say enough. Take care. Enjoy the rest of this episode with Beyond Top Secret Texan and my buddy Ron from New England. Great, great stuff here, guys. Thank you so much. Well, dude, I had a question for you real quick. Why do you think that the Nazis, and this is for both of you, because obviously, like I said, Ron is very knowledgeable with this. Why do you think the Nazis were so far ahead when it came to other civilizations? Is it because they had like a complete disregard for lesser life forms, including Jews, gypsies, all these other lives? Or were they truly gifted, or were they tapping into something that was like almost otherworldly, or maybe literally otherworldly?
I'll let Rod answer first.
Oh, I mean, I think the Nazis just in the beginning were just very, very smart, driven people. And, you know, but I do believe that they had some off planet help. Just my theory. Doesn't mean I'm right. But I think that they used a lot of occultism to maybe make contact with some other type of beings or something like that. And I mean, they had a lot of money to work with. So they sent people out all over the world on these expeditions to look into things like the Hollow Earth, Agartha, things like that. And I think they discovered a lot of things that even to this day has not been disclosed to us. And the Top Secret Texan probably has a lot of info on that. So I'm really excited to see what we have here tonight.
I agree completely with what you said entirely. They had both off-world help to help them gain these leaps and bounds in the world of physics. Also, we completely underestimate the 19th century, the 1800s, in terms of technological. As I said, you have to understand what it means to the German spirit of innovation and industry and the Prussian Empire. They had already sufficient. You know, we think America was this absolute dominant technological power, which it was. We were suppressing a lot of technology, too, a lot of innovations. But they were working hand in hand with the Rockefellers, you know, and they were working hand in hand with American corporations, American industrialists up until this point. You know, and they were allies with the Soviet Union. They were cross, you know, sharing information. And we think there was this iron curtain and like decades of hostility between world wars, and that's absolutely not the case. And in fact, it was a blink of an eye what happened in the immediate proceedings and the shift of power But you know, the exactly like you said, the intellectual genius was there, the academic momentum was there, the engineering momentum was there in the world of aviation and you know, power plants and things like electrical engineering. We always brag about Tesla as such a great innovator of electrical work. They had Tesla people on equal, if not, you know, superior, you know, brilliance when it came to electrical engineering as well. Because it's not taught in our books doesn't mean they didn't exist. And much of the breakaway civilization were those people. And thus, you know, through the rat lines after the war and through Project Paperclip and the Soviet Union equivalent, these men were part of the great, you know, exodus, and thus you'll never really know about them. Their existence is matters of national security. And no, they weren't cartoonishly evil. They didn't have projected feelings of superiority. For example, the feelings of the racial superiority of the Third Reich are grossly over-exaggerated. There were African members of the Wehrmacht. They called them Schwarz Kommando. They were rocket scientists. They had positions of rank in it. That's the thing. Like, it was just Europe, and Europe itself has a weird kind of xenophobic air to it, even if you were British or Portuguese or, you know, French. But just like the real world, it was a meritocracy, in which there were many supporters, like the Vichy French of the era. So you're dealing with international support. And like I said, many Americans, including people like Henry Ford or the IBM Corporation, helping them out with computers early. So there was, yes, a limitation of the era, but it was far in excess than what we give them credit for.
Yeah, man, there's something really interesting about this whole idea to me. I've been reading a couple of books, The Dark Fleet. I'm sure that you've read that text, and maybe not, but it's the whole secret Nazi space program and the battle for the solar system. It's written by Len Kasten, and that's very interesting. I haven't gotten into it as much as I would have liked to have before we started talking here, but that's where this image comes from here. And these are supposed, like, you know, bases underneath Antarctica. Have you heard about any of these? I mean, Mount Erebus, West Antarctica Rift. It's just crazy to me, dude. This stuff is fascinating because it seems like you can't even try and look into it if you're a studied scientist that isn't willing to go with the narrative, because it's very difficult to travel to Antarctica.
Well, there's a actual university educated and dedicated anthropologist named Robert Sepir, who has done a lot of great work and created summarized videos about the breakaway civilization in the Antarctic base. So definitely check out that Robert Sepir on YouTube. I'll send you a link and everything. Highly, highly recommend this dude. And someone like myself, and the reason why I said that, someone like myself who's coming at it from a ufology standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. Who has this greater picture of ufology and ancient aliens and things, will never be taken serious. But from like a academic anthropologist standpoint, it is extremely plausible that a country and people of such organization and engineering prowess were able to not only, like they have done, and this is fully knowledge, explore the Antarctic, but then create self-sufficient colonies using Arctic, you know, colonization methods. It's completely feasible that they did this in some capacity. Now, the actual secret that they're not wanting to let on is that they could have moved a large amount of people, right? Civilian personnel, civilian families, as well as military personnel on massive U-boats. Because this is where, okay, so you got to start thinking of it like, first you start seeing what is likely, and then you start piecing together the puzzle with specifics. And then you think the U-boats, massive airships, like lighter than air vehicles. This is a country that was developing Zeppelins and things like that. This is a country that was developing massive bombers, such as the America bomber, like that, just long range that could easily have been turned civilian. they had rockets that could have been, feasibly used to transport just goods like cargo. Because you don't just shooting cargo over with V2 rockets over a great distance. The feasibility starts coming together. And then you look at how many U-boats just went missing, not accounted for, not sunk, not surrendered. And then you start looking at like the rat lines, Project Paperclip, that they went the rumors of Hitler surviving after World War II. These are the things that the FBI was investigating back then, things that there's a paper trail for.
Were they investigating it, though? Do you think they were investigating it, or do you think they were just trying to make Baylor, it seem?
Not Baylor University, SMU University, sorry. SMU University and Brigham Young University have actually excavated a gravesite in California. Then they tested the DNA, and it came back positive for Hitler's DNA, either proving that he was a direct descendant of Hitler or Hitler himself. That people don't realize that Josh Gates from the Discovery Channel fame did a episode on a mainstream program on Discovery Channel, which they theorized that Hitler had survived and lived in Montana for the majority of his adult life. And there are photos of this in a Bavarian-style hunting lodge in Montana that was specifically designed by him or by supporters of him in the United States. The rabbit hole goes very deep. And I said, the more you look into it, the more the specifics fall, that things are not as they seem and not as they say they were, including the realities of the World War II, including the motivations for it, the reasons behind it, the politics, the key players, the actual agendas of everyone involved, and the actual realities of it.
Interesting.
Now, this goes really deep, because if you start thinking about it, the people in control of the narrative are the very people trying to hide the surviving Nazis that became leaders of the UN, leaders of NATO. Wernher von Braun was best friends with Walt Disney. So they have a massive, already in your face public standpoint of basically having a great esteem after the war. And this is also in the Soviet Union. The Eastern Berlin Wall basically had two comrade Nazis or co-worker Nazis basically standing off from each other. Just one was now in the Soviet Union territory and called himself a communist, and the other one was in NATO territory, call himself a capitalist. You know, the whole entirety of the world is because these puppet masters have been pulling the strings, and they do so through all the Fortune 500 companies, all the major international banks, all the major engineering companies. And this is why the development of these radical technologies, the radical technologies links and makes it even more possible, because then you consider the fact they had flying discs named the Hanabo, the Andromeda Garat. They had the ability to launch satellites into space, reach orbit. They had a space program. And once you start thinking about how successfully organized everything was on their end, they're using not only that, but like I said, extraterrestrial aid in the source of real contact. That's extra dimensional entities, reptilian ghosts. And this is, like I said, when it starts taking to like a more difficult pill to swallow by a normie, right? The Vril. But then you start looking at the actual history of the Vril. This is a real coven of occult witches who were virgins, who didn't cut their hair their entire life because they felt it could increase their attractiveness and their sensitivity to these disembodied spiritualist forces. And this is an era where spiritualism is at an all-time high. It takes a gestalt understanding of era and society and sociology and anthropology to really get that these people were serious. They were not fucking crazy. Like, the Theosophic movement was a foundation of millionaires that would later go on to make the Lucian Press. Lucian Press is the Lucifer Press that controls all publications that the UN now publishes.
Well, dude, let me jump in here real quick, because that guy that leads the Satanic Temple, his name is, his fake name is Lucian Greaves. And I find that fascinating. Ron's been trying to speak for a second here.
Oh, yeah.
What were you trying to say, dude? I'm very interested here.
All right. Well, I just wanted to back it up to what Texan was saying earlier about how we, you know, a lot of people don't understand just how advanced the Germans were. And that even shows up today. Like in my business, we work on several brands of German cars. And in Audis is a big one. Like we're known for working on Audis. And so when you see how these vehicles are just over engineered, like we always ask ourselves, okay, why did they do all that extra work to make that part fit like that? Or why did they do all that extra work to make this valve train work like that? I mean, it's totally insane. So they over engineered everything. So they were really big into making things perfect, and then they would release it. And I think that, that would make sense that, you know, because I understand that, like Texan said, that they had a space program. Like I could be completely on board with that. And I also believe that they had an early like shuttle program. And I think that our shuttle program was probably like a descendant of that. You know what I mean? That came in after that. And when he talks about the rat lines, not only did we have Operation Paperclip, is where the actual U.S. government brought Nazis over, but you also had Operation Odessa, which was like basically what we call a rat line that was all set up to get Nazis smuggled out of the country and disperse them everywhere. I mean, even as close as Spain. And he brought up Vichy France. So southern France was all heavily Nazi sympathizers. So and then we have Italy was an ally. So you see all these other countries that are in close proximity to Germany. And if they had friends in all these other countries, you could see how easy it would be for them to get off the European continent and to places like Antarctica and South America. Because, I mean, once you get to South America, all you do is get to the tip and Antarctica is right there. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's important to bring up, you know, a few of those facts as well. That makes it more realistic, because everybody asks, well, how did all those Nazis escape? Well, they escaped to these places like New Schwabenland that they had already set up, like probably before World War II ever took place. And then the other thing is you have when you talk about their relationship to the Russians. Okay, Lenin was in exile in Germany, and through some money people in Germany. He was actually bankrolled, like he was funded by Germans to go into Russia and start the Bolshevik revolution.
Exactly.
Which was,
which was to
eliminate Tsar Nicholas and his family. And yes. Tsar Nicholas was a cousin to the one of the leaders of Germany, early Germany, before Hitler took over. Yeah, the Habsburgs.
And I'm just chomping at the bit. So this goes back into the Prussians. Like I said, the history of the most recent, like within a blink of an eye, they want us to believe it changed, but they don't want you to ask why it changed. Hitler played checkers with Stalin in the Tavistock Institute in London. Or in Venetia, in Venice. And that Venice, like literally, like all these world leaders were educated and lived within like 2 square miles of each other. And they want you to think that's purely coincidence. And it's not. It's because it goes deeper than just Himmler, Hitler, Goering, and like the big names that they want you to think we're like sitting around a table and really calling the shots. And that the limitations of these men were the limitations of the Third Reich. Which is not true. And at the time, no one believed that to be the case. Like, Italy was not Mussolini. Italy was the fourth largest economy at the time, standing up in Europe that was broke and trying to take back a Roman Empire. It has a different psychology than the fascist leaders they want us to think are in charge. And most of them are just puppets of the Habsburgs. And the Habsburgs have been in total control of Europe via their family, their clans, and this black nobility system. And when you speak about the Nazis, you're speaking about the aristocrats of this now globalist international system that is now called the Third Reich. And it's like with the deposition of the Tsar, we're no longer having like the King of Prussia, because Hitler took power immediately after the vacation of the King of Prussia. That there is a type of global revolution during this time, and no longer are men shackled by the limitations of monarchy. And so the embracing of technology is not random. It is the culmination of all the science fiction of Jules Verne and Renaissance technology of Leonardo da Vinci, and science of every academy and university of the known Western world. And all of that is at the fingertips of the Berlin intellectual class, the elite. They have a old world city too, if you want to start drawing that, old antiquitech technology, wireless electricity grids, subway systems. They were not primitives. That cannot be stressed enough. They were not primitives in any definition of the word.
Yeah, dude, I found it interesting. You're talking about Italy and the way that they weren't really what they seemed, and maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but it seems like they weren't even overly excited to get on the Nazi or the Axis power side. It seemed like they were just kind of intimidated by Hitler, in my opinion. Now, maybe I'm completely wrong, but I think that you have Japan and you have Germany that are really on board with trying to take over the world. And they're both phenomenal engineers. So I don't know how involved Italy really was from a willing standpoint. Am I wrong about that?
Not entirely incorrect to assume that, but the real scape of why this is all possible is through the international coalition of engineers and intellectuals split along access lines, or whatever you would like to call it, allies and access. But the Italians produce excellent aviators, excellent engineers, sure, excellent machinists. We're talking the people who made Porsche and Lamborghini, and we're talking Vichy, French. The French were actually extremely technologically advanced by this time and era. People want you to think that in the 40s, it was just like people who didn't even know what electricity was. No, mm-hmm. We're talking about an era where they're splitting atoms and things. Let's say like they will split atoms in this era. They will do these things. The Nazis had their piece of the pie, and that was in the ability to travel into space, to provide life support, to provide they basically are the first to create a space warfare domain and thus gain ultimate high ground through weaponized missiles that can travel into low orbit and then hit basically anywhere in the globe, right? So yeah. I was like, they had the flying V bomber, the flying wing bomber, the America bomber, so they could actually strike across oceans and bombing raids against the United States.
The V1 and the V2, right?
They had the V1, V2, but they also had the Flying Circle, the Hanabo, mm-hmm. Hanabo Garat, and the Google Blitz. And they had basically centrifugal force motivated anti-gravity. And they had lighter than air vehicles. They had night fighters. They had night vision. They had and submarines of amazing proportionality and size that they don't want to disclose.
Before we move too far away from the anti-gravity stuff, I had this thing that I wanted to pull up. The reason that I brought up Japan initially was because of that Battle of Los Angeles. So I wanted you guys to riff about that for a second, because they were really concerned that this was Japan, right? This was 3 months after Pearl Harbor, if I'm not mistaken. And
well, hold on 1 second. Let me just say, because I don't think we answered the question of how they got to Antarctica and how they started building these bases. Okay. I can summarize it in 5 minutes. Is that perfect. Everyone was trying to go to Antarctica at this time. They weren't the only ones to get to Antarctica. And the idea of the hollow earth is a well-known thing in the histories of these nations during exploration phases. The fact is they beat people to it and were able to fortify it. And thus it was kept secret because of the fact that it was a rogue nation that had militarized Antarctica and had started using it as, like you said, basically a rogue independent nation that was separate from the global system, but as a safe haven, like a true world power that used these technologies. Admiral Byrd, during Operation High Jump, tried to, by force, go in and attack this new Schwabia, New Berlin, and was absolutely repelled. There are rumors that they tried to nuke this colony at one point, and so there was always this civil war and strife, but the areas they colonized are under the ice. They're not above the ice. They're internal, and there are temperatures as high as 70 degrees registered in these internal caverns. There are plenty of protein sources in the way of sea life, and Antarctica is not barren. And not only that, but everything can be brought, including livestock, including plants for cultivation. And that with the proper selection process, you could start a society of hundreds of thousands of people literally within weeks. And all of those people would be your smartest, your best educated, your most athletic people. And, you know, with technology backing them, that's enough, you know, to start again.
So let me ask you this then. What do you have to say about like the flat earth theory?
Well, with personally?
Yeah, personally.
Not as simplified as people think it is. It's a much more complex question than just that. But no, it's not just a flat square disc with edges or a ring of ice. But I am favorable to the ideas of greater Earth and crater Earth, even the ideas of like
a firmament,
like snowball Earth. The firmament, not so much, but I will believe in such things as space shields that are artificial, that are either ancient alien, extraterrestrial in design, or even man-made in design, like Reagan's missile shield, the Star Wars program. And that, yes, actually, I think what we're dealing with is something that possibly is more like that than, say, a Old Testament biblical firmament. And even then, I believe firmament's a mistranslation of the actual ocean and the water content of the atmosphere, which is a way of demonstrating that there's a literal, you know, divide between the two states of water. You know, the water's above, the water's below. They're trying very hard to describe realities of the world we live in. And one of those is in the idea of the firmament. Why doesn't the air just leave? Because there's an ozone layer, and that could be described as the firmament. The ozone layer is a real thing, and it keeps
It seems like every molecule has four forms. There's absolutely three forms. There's a liquid, a solid, and a gas, but then there's like ectoplasm is like a possible fourth. So I think that's what's interesting. And for me personally, I believe that outer space is a liquid form of some kind, whether it's actually liquid, or it's something that we don't understand. Maybe it's a fifth element. Right.
No, you're right about that. It was called aether. Yeah. And you're right. No, that's absolutely right. It's a liquid medium. It has the properties of liquid, although it's in such a way that it's not like it's a wet, it's actually a dry liquid. But it's not like you can get a cup of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's in many ways, it's atmospheric. It's etheric. And that's like it was ether. It's an invisible well of both substance and the absence. Like it's like a, I don't know, like voluminous. It's like hard to explain, like dark matter level shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is dark matter? What is antimatter? What are these states of matter? Like I said, like plasma, ectoplasma, things like that. you know, it's like, what is the difference between strong and weak nuclear energy? You know, that like these are absolute things that it's hard to explain physically. It's hard to explain sensationally what they are.
Very interesting.
Plasma, though, you're right. Interesting to say plasma, because plasma is an important part of all this. With plasma generators, you can run the highest efficiency generators known to man, and they are completely within the realms of possibility. And thus, you could have a self-sustaining, you know, a technological powerhouse without the need for things like readily observable nuclear energy or industrial coal burning or dams. As I'm saying, you could do this under the ice without really being incredibly noticeable. So you have to think more advanced. You have to think smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, say, the powerhouses for these UFOs, the powerhouses for their space colonies, they're not dealing with traditional, what you would call Stone Age or techno-barbaric, because at this point we're using extremely obsolete technologies in our pursuits, surface-level pursuits. But then again, that makes perfect sense when they're keeping us dumb.
Yeah, I think that some of the most extremely high-tech shit that's possibly out there are what we may refer to as primitive technology, like frequencies. What's provably possible with frequencies and sound alone is so, like, unfathomable. Like, it's kind of tough to understand how electronics work, like how this laptop, how we are communicating. That's difficult to work or to understand how it works. But to me it's so interesting that you can potentially levitate things. And there is some videos of levitation through frequency. That kind of stuff has been available since the dawn of time. And I think that we, you know, when you're talking about thinking smart versus hard, that is kind of what frequency is, in my opinion. Now, you know, maybe I'm not, you know, breaking it down very well, but that frequency stuff is phenomenally interesting. I don't even understand. Ron, I know that Ron pays attention to what frequencies do, and everyone's seen those videos of, like, salt, how they move around with different frequencies on speakers and things. And I've been really diving into how frequencies can heal and repair DNA. And that's a big, very, very important thing in the age that we're living in, when we feel like we're under attack with, like, the medical technology that's being forced on us. I don't know, man. I think that these guys were probably doing something like that. And I don't mean to get off topic with that, but I think that, you know, the reason that I brought up flat earth is because that's always been a hot topic in this community. And I think flat earth is kind of a goofy idea, but at the same time, I don't blame people.
It can be told in a goofy way, but there is credence and a sense of sincerity to what they're saying about optically and sensationally. There's something off with the line of sight and with the supposed curvature of the earth, as well as
Coriolis effect.
NASA. Yeah, I will admit that's inaccurate. They're given, like, they're calling out a lie when they see it and they can prove it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it is actually a flat disc. Also, you got to think of things in terms of sensation and visible scale and distance. There's a really famous Neil deGrasse Tyson clip where he's saying that even the guy who jumped out of the balloon, and he's saying that he saw the curvature of the earth, he's calling him out because at the distance, even though he was the highest any man's ever jumped out of a balloon, he was proportionally only 2 millimeters above, like, a standard globe.
Are we talking about the Red Bull event?
Yeah, the Red Bull guy. Yeah. Okay. So while you might think he's in space, he's actually only 2 millimeters, like, not even a width of a piece of paper or something from the actual surface of the world when it comes to truth. That's like, you actually think about they're considering the moon currently inside Earth's atmosphere, and it is 200,000 kilometers away. But that's still within the reach of Earth's atmosphere.
Okay. Well, you know, the reason I was asking this, dude, was, and why I brought up flat earth, was not only because it's such a solid thing in the conspiratorial community, but I watched this little doc with the Blue Origin and Jeff Bezos, and how they took Will Shatner up to space, you know, in this little rocket.
Yeah, no way. No way. They only got up to less than the stratosphere, actually.
It shows you, dude, it shows you how great of an actor fucking William Shatner is, man. He comes down and he's crying because he saw outer space, you know, and they experienced zero gravity and all this stuff. And it was very interesting. I was watching it and I went into it wanting to hate it, but I was like, damn, dude, that was kind of interesting. But then I thought, I was like, dude, William Shatner is one of the best damn actors alive. You know what I mean?
I'm somebody who actually believes in space travel, though. So a lot of the flat earthers, a lot of the firmament believers believe that there are no aliens, that there is no space, that there is no space travel, there's no space programs. There's nothing to see there. It literally is like you're in a fishbowl, you know, and just that's something like you're a fishbowl. And there's everything is a Luciferian lie and misinformation. And I think that is completely just wrong. That's not correct into that assumption. There is evidence that we don't have active space programs. We have colonies on Mars. We have communications with extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings. Like I said, ancestors that have already acquired this and still actively communicate. And it's interesting you said that about the ancestral power of frequencies and how, even though it seems very ancient, those are still the most correct keys, the smartest ways of, you know, performing these feats, these miracles of moving weights, 0 point energy, you know, and, you know, projecting yourself like in these godlike ways, these godlike powers. There is a movement within the Third Reich in the Anunnaki that was called the Giza Intelligence. And they were trying to communicate with 9 self-proclaimed Egyptian gods that were communicating with them amongst the Vril. And the Vril itself is in line with this because it is a reptilian, hollow earth located alien intelligence that was communicating psychically, and I'll put a quotation mark around psychically, because with the right frequencies you can wirelessly and silently beam messages directly into someone's head. It's called Voice of God technology. And it was made, it's completely official. They talked about it in 2012 on the Jesse Ventura Conspiracy Show.
Great show.
Exactly. Like it's over a decade disclosed. So if you're not hip to it, I mean, it's nothing like the idea of frequencies, like you said, just because people are having a seance and communicating with the Vril, they could very well be. And they were just hip to stuff that we haven't opened our minds up to, because the Nazis themselves are keeping us dumb about it because they don't want that secret getting out into the public. And I say, like, why is that being kept a secret? Because the very people keeping the secret were the ones who did it in the first place. And they're like, hey, you know, that worked for us, but you guys, it's not ready, you know. This is our trade secret.
There's something very interesting about the secrets being kept. You mentioned that Jesse Ventura show. There's a few episodes that you cannot find anymore, and most of them are about vaccines and about medical tyranny and things like that. I probably just got this video kicked off YouTube for saying that V word. But Ron, I want you to give your input, dude. I'm very interested always in what you have to say. With the Hollow Earth idea, I have an idea of where Ron stands on that because we've spoken about it. But I mean, the Nazis were all about like the black sun, and that, from my understanding, is that hollow earth sun, this central sun. For you know, video watchers here, we have like this idea of the sun being in the center of the earth rather than the core. We hear that the core of the earth is extremely hot, kind of like a fucking sun. So that's what's very interesting. But Ron, give your thoughts on this stuff, man. You're always so quiet. You're observing always.
No, I'm just really interested in what he has to say.
It's fascinating.
It's crazy. And so Ryan and I have, both talked to, actually we talked to him together once. He's been on each of our shows separately too. David Weiss, who I think is like the premier flat earth guy. And when he was on my show, I asked him, like, my major question was, why the lie? Like, why are they lying? Right. And then of course he gives us his whole reasoning for that. But my biggest question was, just like with you, Texan, do you think the hollow earth and the flat earth can work together? And that was a question I asked him, and he tried to explain it how it possibly that it could. Now, I'm not 100% sold on the flat Earth thing at all, but I'm agnostic about it, and I'm willing to listen to other people's side of the story on it. But I do believe firmly in the hollow Earth. And that all goes back to when I was a kid and used to really like Jules Verne stuff, like The Journey to the Center of the Earth. Obviously, that's a story about the hollow Earth. But then when I started studying more about the Nazis and how they wanted to find out where Shangri-La was, right? And that's why that Himmler had sent some of his SS people to Tibet to try to find that. But, you know, I think the whole theory that the Nazis, survived and went into the Hollow Earth, I think that is completely plausible. I think that could definitely have happened or did happen and is probably still happening, right? And when Ryan brought up the sun inside the Earth, you know, we were always taught in school that the Earth had an iron core, that you had this part, then you had the mantle. I mean, how do they know that? They don't know that. The biggest hole that's ever been drilled is only 8 miles, and they did that in Russia. And they're saying they went 8 miles, and then that drill would not go any further. Like, it was hitting something so hard, it was just destroying drill bits, right? So what's below that? I mean, we don't know. I mean, we hear the theories about how the moon's hollow, right? How do we know that the Earth isn't hollow? How do we know that the Earth, like, what makes us believe that the Earth is just a natural planet? Like, we don't know. The Earth could be a space station for all we know, really. So, I mean, that's why the hollow Earth thing is very interesting to me. And then the Nazis are interested to me. When you put those two things together, it becomes extremely interesting. So I'm assuming, Texan, like, you're a big, you would agree with me on the whole premise that the hollow Earth is the real deal, accessible from the North Pole, but more so in Antarctica.
Yes, and I want to make it very clear that no, I do not follow the hollow Earth theory at all, in any shape and form. I'm just saying it's open to interpretation, and that a lot of their claims are not wrong. They just use them as a sense to kind of justify this denial of other things, which is space and extraterrestrials.
Well, hold on, Texan, hold on. Do you mean, you said hollow Earth, did you mean to say flat Earth?
Flat Earth. Did I say Hollow Earth?
Yeah, no, yes, dude. I was did. Like, yeah. Ooh.
Did I? Yeah. Oh, no. I am completely sorry about that.
I thought you were fanboying on Neil deGrasse Tyson right there.
I was going to say, somebody switched gears there.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, a good catch on your part. I did.
Yeah,
not
nothing gets past Ron, dude.
So, no, I don't believe in the flat Earth. Sorry, flat Earth. And let me just make that. And Hollow Earth, I sincerely believe in. Hollow Earth is absolutely a reality. Now, the matter of interpretation is that some people think the world has to be entirely hollow, and like we live on the inside of it, for example, type of Hollow Earth theory. I believe in like a cavernous, honeycombed, beehive Earth, as proposed, agreed. Like in the legendary Godzilla films of the last decade. How, and their monsters, like, I believe in something. Where it's not the complete hollowness of the Earth's core, but that the world is actually much larger, like I said, crater Earth, than we ever can actually fathom. Roughly around the same size of Jupiter, where the known continents, including the oceans, actually fit inside one crater on the surface of this massive, gigantic sphere. Now, as a Texan, I'm more willing to believe in something like that, where the enormity of the Earth is limitless at that point. And so you can have caverns like the one in New Schwabenland, New Berlin. It is in a cavern the size roughly of Texas.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Oh, I thought we lost them for a sec. Yeah, Texan, I just wanted to say that I agree with you on that. We were on the talking to Camden and Dave on Generation Z podcast one night, and we discussed, like, if you took a golf ball and all the divots in the golf ball, and that would lead to the crater theory, right? So each divot in that golf ball could be what we perceive as our Earth and our continents. Because when Admiral Byrd, in a televised interview, came out and said there are vast continents beyond the poles, that right there, of course, a lot of flat earthers took that and ran with it. But yep. I am more in tune to believe in the crater Earth theory as you, Texan. I think that's more plausible. I think it makes more sense. Mm-hmm. I do believe that our Earth is much, much bigger than we're being told.
Yeah.
I really do. I just really do, because Admiral Byrd saw this with his eyes. Of course, they have this his diary, which we have no way of knowing if it was absolutely real or not. You know what I mean? It was just allegedly was found by one of his relatives or whatever. But he said himself on a televised interview that there was vast lands beyond the poles. Just that right there just opened my eyes up. And I'm like, okay, where are these vast lands beyond the poles? And if we're talking to crater Earth, or what I call the golf ball Earth, that is completely possible.
Yeah. That's what I said. And the hollow Earth theory becomes one where even the theory of extraterrestrials being earthlings, technically earthlings, but that they exist or evolved on separate craters that right. function as effectively as planets is still... Like, that's up for debate. I am willing to debate that, because that is an extremely, you know, interesting theory relative to we live on literally a flat, four-sided, like, game board and with an ice ring around us, and it's just ice, and that there's, like, nothing else beyond the ice wall, and you can't get past the ice wall. Don't even try. And like to that kind of version, like on a spectrum, much more in league with greater Earth, crater Earth. But no, I don't. And I only said the flat earthers because sensationally, it does appear for all sense and purposes flat. And there's something behind that, mm-hmm. meaning that the Earth doesn't have a spin maybe as fast as they want you to think. Maybe that the sun is not a phenomenon like you are led to believe, and that's actually a terrestrial satellite, a plasma phenomenon, like there's so much behind it that's worth investigating. And that just goes into saying that, for what it's worth, greater Earth, crater Earth is an incredible theory.
Well, dude, the every freaking population, or every civilization, I should say, that we kind of took history from, the Anasazi believed in like inner Earth people. Every one of these like indigenous groups of people believed that there was some.
Too, Ryan.
What's that?
The Hopi too.
Yeah, every single group that like we used to call Indians, like the Native Americans, any indigenous tribe, they seem to have believed in inner Earth beings, and they call these extraterrestrials, meaning extra territory, some territory that we don't know about. I would say that means more that, or I would say that the way that you can really kind of, you know, dive into what that topic or what the name of that whole species could be, it would be coming from the center Earth. It wouldn't be coming from outside the galaxy. You're trying to tell me that the species of hyper intelligent beings travel light years and then they crash here in Roswell? I mean, that doesn't make any fucking sense, man. We're coming up on an hour, so Ron, I want you to get this last thought in, and then we'll head on over to Patreon. Go ahead, dude.
Okay, so check this theory out. Like, the whole idea of the extraterrestrials, like using that word extraterrestrial, people assume that means off planet, like UFOs, aliens, that kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I am and still am a big aliens and UFO guy. But the more that I learn about it, and the more that I think about it and contemplate about it, I think that the aliens coming from other planets, other universes, other, you know, whatever, is just a psyop to hide the fact that they actually do come from this larger crater Earth that the Texan had brought up. Because I'm really starting to get on board with that theory, and I plan to do a lot more research on that. And I think that how we could still go with, okay, this is our Earth, it's 25,000 miles in circumference, This is what you got. This is all there is. It's not hollow. Everybody lives on the top. Just us being told that these aliens are coming from other planets is the psyop to get us to not even think about the possibility of our Earth being a lot bigger than what we're being told, which they could just, they could explain the sun cycle, and all these different weathers, like here in New England, where we have the four seasons, right? They can use mathematics to fit that narrative. Like, well, they just say, okay, well, it goes around 24 hours and this is your daylight. And if it's, and if it's an artificial sun satellite, like the Texan is saying, which I believe is totally possible, all they're going to do is make that math work. Like, that's not hard to do, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that it, that if there's other beings, spaceships, advanced technologies, advanced beings on this Earth outside of our realm is what we view as our Earth, this is something they would want to keep very quiet, because then what's going to happen? You're going to get people that are going to want to go explore this, and they're going to want to dig deeper into it, and they're going to want to know the real answers. And that's why I think these rich fuckers like Musk and, oh, excuse my language, Musk, Bezos are pulling all this. Let's take these celebrities into space, like Bezos of Blue Origin. They just took Michael Strahan. That was a big deal on Good Morning America. Oh, he's going into space. And all this, just like you said, they did with Captain Kirk, same thing. And same thing with Branson.
Where's Picard? Right? Where's Patrick Stewart?
Yeah. I'm just starting to think that the whole aliens coming from other planets is just another big, huge psyop.
It sure seems the fact like that
something
it.
Else is going on. Yeah.
Well, I absolutely can respect that opinion where you're coming from. I mean, before we go on to the Patreon exclusive as a cliffhanger and as an incentive for your audience, but also just in like disclosure with you guys, a full disclosure. What I know about extraterrestrials is much more than theory. It's known for a fact. I'm absolutely certain on this because I have the channeled memories of Solar Warden experience in the Secret Space Program, and we can get into that in the next part of it and talk about how they are still continuing to do it. And I know a lot more about Notwaff and what its current phase is. This the Fourth Reich, in which they have a huge you know, not only importance in the establishment of, but now even have continued contact with extraterrestrials. And like I said, the terrestrials on Earth, the ultra-terrestrials that are of equal intelligence to mankind, but are of a different species, different biological species. They also are native to Hollow Earth, as well as just the massive amount of continents available on Greater Earth. And yeah, like that'll be an excellent thing to talk about on your Patreon exclusive. Typically, I keep that very guarded to the chest, but you guys seem very hip. You guys seem very in the know. And no, I'm saying like now, I guess we can start laying it on the line and do a deeper dive to it. But yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that.
Tie the knot on this one, and then we'll kick it up a gear, you know, kick the tires and light the fires.
Hell yeah, dude. I want to do that, and I want to talk about this stuff, man. Like, this whole thing. I'm sure, Texan, I'm sure that you know about this. And I'd be happy to go over to your Patreon and do some of this as well. You're welcome to share this on your Patreon. Because I know that, you know, getting these people to throw down $3 seems so difficult. I'm not sure why. It's insane. It's $3. We were talking about this a little bit.
I took it to heart, actually, what you said last time. And I was like, you know what? You know, I got to put my foot down. And no, this next year, 2022, I'm going to make it more of a mandatory behind a paywall thing for my content. Because if I'm going to take the time and actually, you know, collect my thoughts and do the research and provide unique content, it's worth, as I said, you got to know your worth. And this thing, like, it's the pressure of the internet community at large where they demand free content. And it's never been that way before. And the thing that is, you know, the real dignity of being an artist or a creative or a news person, a journalist, is the ability that you once had to name your own price. You know, like, fuck it. That's like, think about how if you wrote children's books, you could write your own ticket and demand high dollar because you respect your craft,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you had the skill to back it up, that's a noble thing. It's an admirable thing. On the internet, you're right. These mobs of people are just like calling what's it, calling you a shill, calling you in it for the money, a con man, and thinks because you're asking for a dollar. You as a like I'm
asking for three minimum.
Exactly. Like you wouldn't call the guy at the local convenience store who's asking for a dollar a shill.
Yeah, because he's trying to eat.
Hey, let me just butt in. Let me butt in.
Like
let me butt in real Ron, quick, Texan. Listen, everybody listening out there, go join these guys' Patreons. I've been a patron of the Dangerous World ever since the Patreon started over there. It's worth every dollar I spend. Of course, I think I'm at producer level, but
you are.
I just want to tell people, get out there and support these people. Support us podcasters. If you like the content that we're giving you, we put a lot of work into this. We're not really making any money doing it. And let's face it, we're not really doing it for the money, but it does cost money to do this. It costs money for equipment. It costs money for airtime. It costs money for a lot of things. But if you want real information, you want to get stuff that you're not going to get on a Discovery Channel or the History Channel, get out there. It's short money. You know, make your coffee at home, help out the Dangerous World, and help out the top secret Texan.
I would say either give me or some other podcaster that you enjoy listening to $3 a month, or give it to Don Lemon or Tucker Carlson. Pick your fucking poison. Who you want to donate to, because you're listening to somebody. You're going to either listen to some alternative media, or you're going to listen to some mainstream shit. We're going to head over to Patreon right now. But yes, absolutely. Top Secret Texan, your knowledge is great, dude. I want to talk about this anti-gravity aircraft. We're going to head over there right now. And yeah, dude, we'll do some great stuff. So throw your plug out there one more time for my audience.
All right, thank you for inviting me on and having me. You know, it's been a great program. Beyond Top Secret Texan, you can find me on social media everywhere. But flagship is Instagram. I post on Instagram every day, Beyond Top Secret Texan. YouTube, TikTok video for videos. Moving over to different platforms soon, but you catch me while you can over there. Podcast, it's on everywhere, Spotify, our iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, Anchor. Join my Patreon, support me for the direct access to a lot of exclusive media, as well as, you know, access to my Telegram group, etc. You can get in conversations with me after you just donate a dollar. You get on the friends list, basically filter out all the haters and everything. Like you said, if you can support a dollar, you know, in some bullshit, like, you know, just buying a soda or buying a fucking candy bar, you can give a dollar to someone if you're getting to listen to hours of their content. You know, and I do provide it all for free anyway, but, you know, that's just, you know, generosity and a good gesture helps support independent contractors and creators like myself and like yourself. Given that, like, subscribe, those are free. Share with your friends, post on 4chan, spam the shit out of it. Exactly. Post it on Reddit, create fan pages, get the word out. You know, I rely on people and word of mouth. New thing I'm doing too. If you want, send me some weed. Hit me up on Instagram. We'll talk about details. A gram of weed, exactly. You help immensely through motivation, also be a neat little thing to do. If you can give a stand-up comedian a bag of weed for free, I mean, fuck it. Exactly. Like,
there you go, dude. I think that's a great idea. And then I think the metaverse is going to bring some very interesting shit too. Like, I was thinking the other day, there were some people arguing on my one of my posts. They were going back like 55 comments. It was, and I was like, dude, and this is not the first time this has happened. And I thought it was funny, but I was like, dude, it'd be so great if these two could fight in the metaverse. And like, they had to fight. And the one that lost had to shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? I thought that would be hilarious. Like if you were, cause people usually don't tend to fight each other if they're face to face. They won't talk to each other the same way if they're face to face, but they're very open. They're very down to call their mom a fucking whore or do whatever, you know, people would talk all kinds of crazy shit. And I thought it would just be such a great idea to set up something where people have to fight. And then you like, you bet like a couple of Dogecoin or something, you know what I mean? Like something where you got to shut up, you pay the person when they beat you. And then your ego points are scraped off or something. I think that, I mean, like if we're going to do this,
metaverse shit. Let's lean into it, dude. It's getting crazy. But we're going to head over to Patreon right now. And thank you guys for the support. Support the Beyond Top Secret Texan. And I mean, you'll be hearing from me again very soon, guys, obviously. So take care and head over to Patreon.com/dangerousworld to get the rest.